Good morning. It's wonderful to see all of you here today. I will tell you that one of the things that I don't always say it, but I always try to say it, whenever I am blessed to be able to preach, I like to say it's a privilege and an honor for me to be able to present a message to you from God's Word. And that's because it truly is a privilege to be able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, this morning in our class period, I told you a little bit about myself. I told you what my qualifications are, shall we say, for being able to speak to the topic of defeating depression. My qualifications are not medical. I am not a medical doctor. My qualifications are not psychological. I did not even take a class on psychology when I was in college 20 years ago. My qualifications are not as a Christian counselor. I am just a part-time preacher. I actually work in computer security for my quote-unquote day job, and I preach for congregations that have need of part-time preachers. So, why is Joey qualified to speak about depression? Because I suffer from depression. I struggle, but I have defeated depression. And we talked about this morning in our Bible class preparing ourselves, God's preparation in order to be able to defeat depression. Now, if you don't suffer from depression, I want to encourage you to pay attention to our lessons. Come back, especially tonight and tomorrow night, because I'm going to be giving you some practical ways in order to help yourself or others deal with depression. Now, I'm not trying to encourage you to quote-unquote play doctor either, but you can learn a lot to help those who are around you that do suffer from depression. This morning we opened up to the book of Judges, and I'd like to continue doing that. So if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, open up to Judges chapter 7. We're going to be focusing on just one verse. Now, that means that I should be done in about 2 minutes, right, Justin? No, I'm just kidding. It won't be that merciful. Justin was very careful to tell me that class would end at about 15 till and there wouldn't be a bell. He did not tell me how long I get to preach this morning, so you all are in for a treat. I have a 2.5 hour lesson prepared. No, I'm just playing with you. It won't be that long because you all might get depressed if I preach for that long. We're going to be looking at Judges chapter 7 and verse 3. It says, "Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained." This morning we're going to talk about God's power. First we talked about God's preparation. Now we're going to talk about God's power in defeating depression. Now the text that we're looking at as our base text for all of the lessons this week is talking about Gideon and how he was able with God's power to go and defeat the Midianites, an army that was almost without number, the Bible says. It was difficult to count them. Now, God's power, when we look at defeating depression, when we look at the text that we see here, God's power was so great that He was able to dismiss 2/3 of Gideon's army just like that. Just like that. Friends, I want you to think about that for just a moment. Actually, God's power was so great that He didn't even need that many to defeat the Midianites. But that's a lesson for later on. God's power, when we look at it today, what do we usually think about? What is it that we think about when we understand or try to comprehend what God's power is? Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Now, we're not going to look at the latter part of that verse this morning. That's a very powerful lesson for us to comprehend and to think upon. for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. This is telling us that those of us, and I suspect that most of us in here today are all Gentiles. There may be a few of us who are from a Jewish heritage, but probably not many. But you know, it doesn't matter what heritage we have. It doesn't matter what background we come from. God's salvation is offered freely to everyone in the world today. But this morning, I want us to focus just a little bit on that first part of the verse where Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. First, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Psalm chapter 119 in verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. John chapter 8 in verse 32, Jesus says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Friends, that's something that's very powerful. To those who are caught in the trap of depression, you know, as I mentioned in our class this morning, it's easy to say, well, you know, you should just let go and let God. Well, how do you do that? That's not very practical. You can tell me all day long that I should give up my burdens and hand them over to Jesus, but folks, if you don't give me some kind of practical way of doing that, I know that I need to. It's just not, I don't understand how sometimes. It's simple to say things like that, but in order to actually do them, we need some type of process. I am convinced that in the church today, we have fallen into a trap that Satan has laid before us where we don't want to talk about specifics. You know what I mean when I say that? When we talk about different topics in the church, we know that sometimes it's going to make people feel uncomfortable in order to talk about those topics. And so we like to make things general in the church when we're talking to one another, and that way, well, you know, if that person wants to take it away that it was intended, they can. But if they want to take it another way so that they won't be offended, well, that's all right too. Well, folks, that's not okay. The truth is going to make us free. It's going to set us free. It's going to let us escape from the bondage of sin and sorrow. But it can also help us to escape other struggles that we face in life. We talked this morning in our class about how depression is sometimes caused by sin. Not always. Not everyone who suffers from depression is suffering because of some type of sin in their life. Maybe they had some type of terrible trauma. There are many people who come back from serving in the military, and I appreciate our prayer this morning where we prayed for our military, the people who go and defend the freedoms that we have in our land. You know, a lot of the times, Those men and women who come back have difficult times readjusting when they get back home. It's hard for them because of the things that they have seen and maybe even some of the things that they were commanded to do while they were over there. But you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that a person sinned. Maybe they saw horrific things while they were there. Friends, sometimes depression is caused by chemical imbalances. Sometimes it's caused because we just aren't taking care of ourselves physically the way that we ought to. But folks, the truth can set us free. It can help us with all different types of struggles that we have in our life. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 29, we see, now Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Friends, we need to be able to address the threats that come to us, those things that we face in our lives with the word of God. And we can do it with boldness, the text says. That if we pray to God, that He will grant us that boldness, that we can face those challenges head on. And that we can defeat them with God's help, with His power. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I didn't complete this next part of my lesson. Now, what are you talking about, Joey? Are you telling me that you got up here unprepared? Justin, don't worry. I'm not going to get you in trouble. Justin didn't ask somebody who was going to come and be unprepared. What I'm going to tell you is there are three phrases that I started looking up. Have you not read? It is written. And not knowing the Scriptures are found in at least the New King James Version at least 27 times in my searches. Now, why do I say at least 27 times? Because, folks, I got tired of counting. I'll just be honest with you. Even with an app on my phone that lets me search all of the Scriptures, it just got to the point of ridiculousness. Okay? It's in there a lot. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We need to be able to show other people that we are living the gospel, that we take it seriously. And you know, it's hard. Sometimes it can be difficult depending on where we are, who we're with. I had a job for 3.5 years, and I was what I like to call the token Christian in that job. I was surrounded by primarily atheists and agnostics who did not believe in God or would not admit to believing in God. Folks, it's a struggle in order to show that you believe in the power of God to those people. Sometimes you just want to say, you know what, forget it. I'm not gonna waste my time. But that's not what we're commanded to do, is it? We trust in God, and we need to trust in His plan. We need to not be ashamed of the good news that He has given to us about His Son, Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He then says that it is the power of God. That's the second point here, that it is the power of God. Now, I think today people want to have the quote-unquote power of God to be miraculous. We want signs and wonders. We as human beings want to see something amazing. I love the Marvel movies. I don't know if you all are fans of those. You know, the Avengers, Iron Man, things like that. I love superhero movies. I do because I love seeing things that they're not real, right? Nobody has a suit that they can wear. At least nobody knows of one that's unclassified right now. You know, that you can wear and be like Iron Man and be bulletproof. It doesn't happen. It's amazing to see things like that on the movie screen. But those types of things don't happen in the real world, do they? But you know, we want that. Sometimes people want that warm, fuzzy feeling that they think that they're supposed to get that proves to them that they're saved. That's not how God's power works, friends. God doesn't zap us with some kind of emotion from heaven. He doesn't just automatically grant us all that we need, just pop it into our heads that we have all knowledge. We don't have that today. Sometimes we have to work for it. Sometimes we have to struggle. Sometimes we have to do Bible studies that make us feel uncomfortable because when we start looking through the Scriptures, we start thinking, you know what? I haven't been doing that. Or I have been doing that and I'm not supposed to be. I told this morning during class, I started doing a series on prayer and singing. And one of the reasons that I wanted to do that is because I've come to realize over the last few months that my prayer life has gotten terrible. I just basically have been handing God a list. It's almost like I walk into an office and God is the principal of the school and I lay a list on the desk and I say, here's my wish list for Christmas, Lord. please take care of this for me. Thank you. It was good to see you. And then I turn around and walk out. That's not how prayer is supposed to be. Friends, this is not this warm, fuzzy feeling. This is not how God gives us knowledge. This is not how we know that we are saved. This is not how we are going to defeat depression. We're not just going to say some prayer and then magically we feel better. And don't tell people that. If they come to you and they trust you and they share with you, hey, I've not been feeling well lately. Every time I've actually been thinking about committing suicide. Things are so bad right now. Don't just, well, you know, you need to pray about that. Well, they do need to pray about that. Don't misunderstand me. But they need to be in the Word too, and they need to seek some help. They need to seek some counseling. You might need to seek some counseling. I don't know what your situation is. And incidentally, let me help Justin to be off of the hook on this one. Justin did not request this topic. He asked if I had something that I wanted to do, and I told him if you think that the congregation might benefit from it, I would like to do a series on defeating depression. And he said, I think that would be great. So many people in our world today, so many people in the church today suffer from depression, friends, and you probably don't even know that they are suffering. They might not have chosen to share that. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Paul says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete or perfect, thoroughly furnished, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I talked with someone recently who said, you know, I am so glad that I have the comfort of God. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And they said, well, you know, the feeling that I have that God gives me when He comforts me. Folks, that's not how that works. The Scriptures are what comfort us. When we face trials in life, we need to turn to the Word of God for the answers of how to deal with those things. We need to look in God's Word and find out what He says in order to solve the problem. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 through 18, Paul says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And look at what he says at the very end. I love that passage. I love the idea of my Lord coming back and claiming those who are faithful to Him. And I am so excited that those who have come before me are going to be able to leave the grave first. And then we're going to be with them in the air. But look at what Paul says in the last verse. Verse 18, he says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. That's how we receive comfort. That's how God helps us with His power, which is the gospel. Now, am I going to stand up here before you today and tell you that knowing that I'm going to be able to go to heaven, that just wipes all of my problems away? No, it doesn't. Sometimes we still face struggles in life. Even though I know that I'm going to be able to see my dad again, even though I know that I'm going to be able to see my mother-in-law again, even though I know that I'm going to be able to see my great-grandfather, who I didn't know this, I never even got to meet the man. But I found out, my dad told me before he died, he smiled at me because I said something about having to go preach at either Bethlehem or Salem or Sharpeville or somewhere like that. And he kind of grinned at me and he said, "You know," he said, "that's what your granddaddy Shapley used to do." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Really, he rode a mule to go and preach at different congregations of the Lord's church because they needed somebody to preach." I'm excited to get to see him. But you know what? Sometimes it's still hard whenever I'm sick. Sometimes it's hard whenever my wife's in the hospital. Sometimes it's hard when my car broke down on the way to work and now I'm late again and my boss is mad at me. You know, we need to take comfort from the Scriptures, but we need to also understand that sometimes we're going to have to just force through that. Sometimes we're just going to have to, you know, like they say, we're going to have to power through. And we can take comfort, and overall it helps to build up. Friends, we need to make sure that we are looking at the power of God in the right perspective. You want to know how to be comforted? Put the Word of God in your heart. Because you're probably not going to have the presence of mind after a car accident to get your Bible out and try to find a passage that's going to comfort you after having a car accident. Right? But you are, if you have put it into your heart, you're going to know, you're going to believe that God is going to make all things work together for the good of those who believe. That God will supply your every need. That God is going to take care of you and make sure that you have what you need. Put it into your heart. And then, as we read earlier, you need to make sure and meditate on the power of God. Luke chapter 11 and verse 28 says, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." I want to ask you something. How often do you eat? I don't know if the microphone picked it up or not, but just a moment ago, my stomach growled a little bit. And I had breakfast this morning before I left the house, right? Do you eat on Sunday and Wednesday only? Is that when you fuel your body? I see at least one head going, no way. I'm going to tell you, I eat every day, multiple times a day. So why are you going to feed yourself spiritually 2 to 3 times a week and expect to grow stronger? What happens to people who don't eat every day? They become weaker and weaker. Same thing happens to us spiritually if we don't feed ourselves. You know, the idea of meditation, I think in the church, gets a bad reputation because we look at the worldly view of meditation. The worldly view of meditation is just clear your mind of everything. Just take and dump it all out and don't think about anything. The biblical view of meditation is to fill your mind with the Word of God. And think about it, ponder it. Don't just read it right now. If you're doing a Bible reading program or something like that, I encourage you, keep doing that. Read through the Bible multiple times in a year. That's great. I love that, and I encourage you to do that. And read through what we sometimes consider the boring stuff, because I'm going to tell you, after you really start studying, let's say the book of Leviticus. Friends, if you study Leviticus and Hebrews and then go back to Leviticus, oh, wow, it's amazing. It's not boring at all. It's fascinating at what God set up to be an example for us, a schoolmaster for us, so that we could truly understand the nature of spiritual worship to Him. But some ideas for you when you're studying. So when you want to go beyond just reading the Scriptures, emphasize every single word that you study in your personal Bible study. Go through and look those words up. Not necessarily what we think those words mean in English today, but I am not a Greek scholar, but you can get an interlinear text, and you can look that up if you've got a smartphone or a tablet like I have. A lot of the times you just punch on the word, and if you've got that Greek text installed, it'll tell you the deep meaning of the original word that's in there, or the Hebrew word. That's a really good way to study the Bible. There are also other things that I like to do. You can rewrite or rephrase verses in your own words. I love to do that. I love to take a passage and I like to read through it. And then I like to try and explain that passage to myself. Right? Like if I were going to write the meaning of that passage, how would I say it in my own words? That helps you to understand the actual meaning of the text that you're studying. Do other things too. Memorize. Don't ever say, nobody memorizes passages out of the Bible anymore. Who cares if they do or not? You should. That will help you to understand that passage. If you can quote it to yourself, it's not the only thing you have to do, but that is another way in order to help learn the deep meaning of a passage is by committing it to memory. You can also connect the dots. That's kind of the idea of using cross-references and asking who, what, where, when, why, and how of a particular passage that you're reading through. And then my very favorite way in order to really meditate, to really ponder and study and learn more about the Word of God is as you read through a passage, try and figure out within its context, how does this passage relate to Jesus Christ? Because folks, I'm going to tell you something. Every single thing in this book points to Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament points forward to Jesus. Everything in the New Testament points back to Jesus. Always remember that. It's all about Christ and how we need to serve Him so that we can have the victory. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. And the last thing that I want to share with you this morning is unto salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation, friends. This morning, I want to share with you just for a moment God's plan of salvation. First, we have to hear and believe the Word of God. Paul says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." We then have to repent of our sins. You know, it's not just enough for us to feel bad about what we have done. We actually have to turn away from those things that we have done that are wrong. Jesus says in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, "I tell you, no, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." It's necessary for us to turn away from the sin that we have in our lives. And then Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, Paul tells us that we need to confess. He says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now, what is it that we're supposed to confess? Whenever we become a Christian, are we supposed to tell everybody everything that we've done wrong over the course of our lives? Friends, for some of us, we can't list everything that we've done wrong, right? That's not what we're supposed to confess. We're supposed to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Look at the example of the Ethiopian eunuch when he was converted in the book of Acts. That's what he confessed to Philip. And then, just like the Ethiopian eunuch, we need to be baptized for the remission of our sins. And in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, Paul tells us that it's baptism that actually puts us into Christ. If I walk unto the church building, that just means that I've come up to the point of the church building. But if I come into the church building, that means I'm inside. That means I'm in it. Friends, when we're baptized, that puts us into Jesus Christ. Not the building. This physical building is not the boundary of Jesus Christ. But it puts us into His body. Puts us into His family. But then, we have to remain faithful. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. This morning, if you have not become a Christian, you need to. Or if you have not remained faithful in being a Christian, you need to come back. If you have need, won't you come as together we stand this song of invitation.